Alrighty, well, call the meeting to order. I want to welcome everybody, and we are going to start. We'll get right into resolutions.
Do you want me to make a motion to approve the minutes?
Oh, there we go. Yep.
I would make that motion.
Very good. Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now we will get into our resolutions. We will start here with Resolution 230. That's confirming the appointment of a member to the Community Services Board.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Discussion?
No, it looks like she's got very good credentials, though, because she worked for mental health, or at least in capacity, so very impressive resume.
Good. Any other discussion?
Aye.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, Carrie. We'll move to the next one. 231, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with Emergency One.
So move.
Second.
Second, discussion.
Yeah. This is our drug testing services for clients over at DSS, about $125,000.
Under what circumstances do you see you send them in for drug testing?
I think there's some state mandated circumstances, I believe. I don't have a list of all of them, but in order to be eligible for certain benefits, I believe the state mandates that we test.
Oh, I didn't think New York did that. Okay.
Well, it depends on the nature of the physician. So, no different than the DOT as mandatory. You know, drug testing in order to be able to drive vehicles. So, yeah.
Oh, so this is okay.
Is this staff?
The sensitivity?
No. Yeah.
This is staff. I believe this is clients.
This is clients. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I overlooked that. Okay.
But for clients who have psychiatric disorders, if they have an exacerbation of their symptoms, it could be related to an ingestion, or it could be related to their underlying condition.
Right.
So
also,
I mean,
child protective services, other instances like that, where
court mandated.
And does this serve clients at Pine Grove, or is it just over at Department of?
This is just social services.
Yeah. Okay. Then I think I can vote on this.
Looking in the eye. Yes. Okay, gotcha. Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Move on. 232, approving an execution of a contract next to $50,000. With Rising Ground.
Thank you. I'll move it.
Second.
So this is a new foster care services contract. We have not used this provider recently. As kind of a primer, we'll go back. We have the different tranches. This will be a $200,000 contract. So again, there's somewhere between 23 and 25 providers that we contract with, so that in the need of a placement, we don't have to come and get a contract at that time. We have some of the providers we have a contract with, we haven't placed a child there in a year or two, but a lot of times it just depends on the services provided at each of those providers. A need may arise throughout the year. Legislator Petit had requested some kind of spreadsheet or a list just to kind of make sure that everything, you're on top of everything and just all in one place. I believe we do have a spreadsheet. I wasn't able to forward it on yet, but the commissioner was going to send it to me today or tomorrow, and I will forward it on. And if there's further questions after that, if the committee feels like it would be worth it, then we can always have the commissioner come in and go through an overview of these contracts again. I mean, I think that's been done in the past, but sometimes these providers change and contracts change. So.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to hear that there were so many. I don't know why I thought there was like under half a dozen, considering I don't know what the volume is of cases that we have, if we have hundreds of kids, or I do understand last year we had approved for additional staff because of the opioid epidemic and more of a need for CPS, but yeah.
And that's, it fluctuates because you just don't know. You could have an influx, and then you could have, you know, just a handful. And I know I've seen this one before. This isn't new, right?
May not be new. Yeah, we didn't do it this year, and I don't think we've done
come
it
up
in
before.
A while.
It's probably been years, maybe.
Right.
So
we've probably contracted with them
in the past.
Sure. In the past, but not in the last, in
sure.
the recent past.
Okay. All right. Very good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All righty.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, we will move on. We have a presentation this evening.
Yes. So maybe I should introduce Alex Truesdale, who is the CEO and founder of Adaptive Design Association, an organization that serves people in New York City. And Alex lives in my district out in Olive, at least part-time now, and we hope full-time in the near future. And she's interested in having the work that she's done in New York City be replicated in other places, not just in Ulster County, but around New York State and maybe around the country. But Ulster County is a good place to start that reseeding of the space of care for children primarily, but also adults with some sort of special need.
Mm-hmm.
Is that do you want to know who the people are
sure.
around the table?
Hi, I'm Mary Warr. I'm a legislator from Sotheby's, and I do daycare. That's my livelihood.
Kathy Nolan, you know.
Teresa Brundage, trustee assistant.
Craig Lovis, legislator. Sean Gwynne Morrison.
Nettie Tom Shaw, clerk for the committee.
Julius Collins, Ellenville.
Laura Petit, Town of Esopus, and Town of New Paltz Recycling Coordinator. So I'm very interested in what you're going to be speaking about.
And do we introduce?
Paul McAndrews. I'm just here to observe. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me, and I'm hoping in the next few minutes I could encourage you to imagine Ulster County being a model for the Hudson Valley and then beyond. And it may be true that, you know, if you can do it in New York City, you could do it anywhere, but we did do it there. It is working in its way there, and I'd like to see if it could happen in something that's a bit more representative potentially of the world. There's little communities, there's towns, there's businesses involved, there's people that have the need, and there's a great deal of innovation here. And I've not traveled anywhere in the world that I've not found those features. And since I am interested in living here more full-time, I'd like to see if we could pull it off here. So I've spoken to people that think differently, at Abilities First, and the ARC of Ulster Green, and as you, I'm sure, know, they are taking over Dutchess and Putnam, and so they've given a provisional buy-in. We're on board, but only after they finish that transition. So I figure the more people I could talk to about the concept to make the term adaptive design, or those two words, a very familiar concept. So specifically, it is within the realm of design and engineering, but more and architecture, but more broadly, it's a philosophy about human potential and really a call for massive social action, as I believe I'm going to talk to you about a crisis that's neglected and new careers, therefore new jobs, therefore new professional development within the world of social services, medicine, design and engineering, occupational physical therapy, and education. So to quantify it, I thought I would just show you a handful of pictures. Can you all see this pretty well, this monitor? So this is Maddox, and this was at the beginning of a 52-hour marathon building session in Syracuse about 3 years ago. Maddox has spina bifida, a little bit of a vision special need, although he's quite a visual kid. Very super smart, but he hadn't been standing. He's two here. and it is normal to stand at the age of one. And his mother was quite frantic that he was way off to the side at his playgroup. So his physician in the yellow shirt, his mother standing over giving him a sip of water, and his occupational therapist brainstormed about how in the world to get this two-year-old standing. And it just took a few hours to build this cardboard podium that essentially sandwiches his little bottom and his front, and he's standing, therefore, on his legs, can't fall left to right, forward, back, and he can use his arms. So by the afternoon of that day, so a year late, he's finally standing and immediately able to turn pages of a book and begin the idea of playing soccer or catch. Mm-hmm. So Millie has a public school student in the Bronx, had been fed. Her occupational and physical therapists were concerned that she was being fed by her teacher aide, who insisted that it would be better to feed her because she'd make a mess and take too long. And so Millie behaved disabled to an extreme, helpless. So we talked to her about maybe that there was something the matter with her chair. And it took just a week. Unfortunately, it would take a couple of hours, but we're in the middle of Manhattan, and the Bronx, as you may know, is a long way away. That few miles takes half a day. Like, so this is considered a few hours later. She's feeding herself quite ladylike, as you can see. The following week, we added steps and a backrest, armrests. And 2 months later, she had not only conquered feeding herself, she was using utensils. So she shattered the misconception of can't. And essentially, that's why I'm calling it a crisis. Because Maddox learned that he's a kid in a preschool who can stand and play just like everybody else. The little bit about his spina bifida, I got to deal with that, but I'd rather play with you than be all hung up with that. So this is a little two-minute video about Angel and William, who both use wheelchairs. And their OTs and PTs wanted them to learn to transfer themselves, and the kids were highly motivated to get themselves in and out of their wheelchairs. So, Angel has cerebral palsy. And he requested
those muscles you've been working on.
He requested the paint.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man. Yeah. So a big. Okay, ready? Can do it.
There you go. Very good.
Another school, another kid. This one has spina bifida. I'm hiding, he said.
Yeah, are the bars that a good height, the width and everything?
I think
yeah.
So.
Okay, great.
Good. So, you know, just this one is a little hard. He can do it.
But because he's so far.
So what
pixels.
Thing has
we'll
to come back?
So William's wish is to be an athlete in the Olympics in a few years.
Right.
And he wheels himself away here.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And about a year later, he actually was in the marathon, just the beginning of the marathon has a little wheelchair entries. Elaine bought a commercial back pillow once her conditions deteriorated, but it didn't have neck support, head support, so she couldn't fall asleep in her chair. And so she and her husband imagined a solution for that, because if you can't buy it off the shelf, what do? Who makes it? Who thinks of it? And the crisis I'm discussing is these things are not William and Angel are using two different, it's a transfer step, but both chairs are different. Both kids are different. So the concept is similar, but the tweaking means it was made for them. They mattered enough to make it just right for them. So Elaine's headrest had to be just right for her chair, her head, her armrests, the whole thing. And without it, as you can see, she just looks kind of miserable. Connor had a spinal cord injury, a design professor at Syracuse University, and was just accustomed to seeing the glare off of his iPhone and iPad, and imagined a lap desk that brought both the pad and the phone higher. And he also imagined a little spot for dog treats, because he has a service dog who needs periodic rewards. So he's using a custom-made grabber to pull kibbles out of his fanny pack, telling Topper to sit. And then he just pulled that little secret drawer and dropped a couple of kibbles for her. And finally, this is Tanya. So she has cerebral palsy, and it wasn't really until she was 12 that she had a communication system. And I'm hoping this little video will show. I had it all queued up at home. If it doesn't, you'll have to imagine. Unless you happen to know, do you have a public password here? If not.
And guest. You have it there?
I don't have it. I finally realized I shouldn't have it on my laptop and took it off.
Just when you need it.
Yeah, it all seemed to be locked.
Yeah, I think she's going to ask you to go legislature, I think. And then can she sign in to legislature network or what?
I guess.
Oh, well, there you go. Ulster guest. Where am I?
Ulster the last
guest.
One down. Yeah.
Password.
Oh, yes. That's how my powers get spread around.
What?
Incorrect password.
Did I do that lowercase?
Must be my computer.
Hey, Mary.
I saw.
Which one of these is the hyphen? I guess it's that one.
Yeah, it is. And then you may have to hit enter. No?
Doesn't like it.
It usually does the join button.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Anyway.
She just wants to make me feel good.
Yeah, you're we've had people struggling with these laptops here all. So we just went to using them instead of paper about 18 months ago.
Tempted to use mine for a frisbee.
Okay.
Oh, here, is it playing?
Well, it's not the news piece, but it's. So Tanya is writing into her computer with Morse code, which she's operating with. The pads there at the left and right of her head.
So
at age 12, she was part of a study at the University of Washington. And she's going to make her computer speak in just
a
moment.
If we start simple to get kids talking, then they will want to know what else is possible for them, and that will get it going.
So quite simply, Tanya recognizes that she would have easily been considered, I think I have a thing here called urgency. Tanya knows that without that, she could have easily been this, and this, and this, and that. There's sort of doubt about potential. But with somebody imagining what's possible, you can go from that to that. And my franticness about this is that it's so doable and so transformative that not only does an individual get a tailored fit, but they also get discovered to be as equal and capable as absolutely everybody else. That disability has a horrendous misassociation with cognitive impairment or other limitation. Mm-hmm. And of all people, you get it big, but society out there doesn't. And I didn't know about this book until a week ago. Do you know about it? Mm-hmm. So A Paradise Built in Hell by Rebecca Solnit. And I highly recommend it. And she studies really the startling thing about disasters is that not merely that so many people rise to the occasion, but they do so with joy. The idea of making this stuff makes people nice, creative, collaborative, helpful. That joy reveals an ordinarily unmet yearning for community, purposefulness, and meaningful work that disaster, disability, often provides. It's an investigation of the moments of altruism, resourcefulness, and generosity that arise amid disasters, grief, and disruption, and considers their implication for everyday life. It points to a new vision of what society could become, one that is less authoritarian and fearful, more collaborative and local. And 100%, that's what it is. So I could tell you it's all about the coolness of building adaptations, whether it's with cardboard or electronics or 3D printers, whether it's done by retired engineers or high school students, people with, you know, autism or people that have been veterans or whatever. It is transformative. So that's my pitch.
Can I just see your cover on this?
Sure. I had to order it from, I got this one from the Golden Notebook. And any day now, Barnes & Noble will have another one. And then you can race over there and get it. Just say Alex. So.
You want to take that?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Since it doesn't work. Oh, did you do the exclamation point?
Should we just try it for the 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's lowercase Oster,
mm-hmm.
hyphen 2017,
mm-hmm.
exclamation point.
Oh, that looks like a question mark that you typed.
And that was a 7.
Oh.
So now I need to do...
Enter.
How do I
shift
make the shift?
You can go to the numeric key on the above the ABC. Press that above the ABC, press that one, and now it gives you an exclamation point by itself next to the question
Thank
mark
you.
At the end.
Good eyes, Kathy.
Yay! You got a
it
check mark.
What happened?
How
really
about
good.
That?
Now let's hope that the
machine always likes you to do it the way it told you to do it.
Right.
But this is a really nice video. I'm glad you're going to get to see
Amazon
it.
Amazon has it too, but there's only 2 left.
No.
Oh, the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm hoping if we do a big push of adaptive design, it'll get reissued. No, come on, please.
It may
listening.
Take a minute to kind of...
But it's gone too far up the screen.
Yeah. Maybe reload that page. Can you do that up in the URL bar on the far right?
I'm so happy. You're kind of techie. Nope.
Yeah, it's one of those things everybody always expects it now.
So patience?
Yeah, everybody expects that you know how to run all the equipment that's in their room. So I always tried to learn how to run all the equipment in all the rooms. I got to know more about electronics than I ever expected to.
It's very handy.
Yes, but I didn't get it completely for you.
I decided it's much easier to travel with a monitor than projectors work.
You've got your own toy that I'm going to destroy.
Oh, is that cute?
Oh,
Kathy,
won't be cute long.
It really is very, very strong.
You have the bubble wrap.
First test, can it survive the
second step, can it survive a 3-year-old? Those two go right together.
So you can make cardboard do anything.
Yeah.
If you've been to see watermelons at where would they be around here in big bins at the farmer's market? Mm-hmm. That big cardboard bin is triple wall. And that will, that has a bursting strength of 1,100 pounds per square inch. So that's why Kathy was sitting on this when she walked in, because you can form it and then work, make it into a work of art. And our main policy at Adaptive Design is made with love, start to finish.
Now, could that be made as the standing board that that child was in the first picture?
Essentially, that's very good imagining, because imagine this with the
right,
cut
exactly,
out.
Right, exactly.
I wanted yours.
So that's precisely the design. In fact, we...
Now, did they talk to, like, Lowe's? Because I know Lowe's has, like, building things for children that are free.
Beautiful. It would be a perfect match for Home Depot, Lowe's, any, to have hands-on learning.
Right. As you can see, Mr. Peanut is using it right now.
Okay, you sold me. He's got a cat.
I just, the ad happened to be there. But.
For Tanya Finlayson, words have always been a bit like making music, meticulously stringing notes together for others to understand.
Nicely done.
Born with cerebral palsy, Tanya originally learned to communicate using a keyboard and a stick attached to her head, crudely and often painfully typing out her thoughts. Then she discovered Morse code, a series of dots and dashes that Tanya can trigger through these pads with simple side-to-side head movements, making it infinitely more easy to string those words together. She eventually developed her own device and opened up a whole new world for her.
Morse code has always been a lifeline to many people, but it has always been a very small market.
Very, very excited to have Tanya and Tim join us today.
That market just opened up. Developers at Google learned of Tanya's work, and in May, the company's CEO announced he's partnering with her to introduce a Morse code application to its Gboard virtual keyboard. It will allow people to communicate via Morse code on their iPhones or Androids. Morse code gives the disabled many more options to express themselves. Tanya hopes this news will send a message to everyone else as well.
And understand that the potentials of people who have disabilities are every bit as limitless as those who are able-bodied.
Limitless defines Tanya Finlayson. She's conquered her disabilities in every respect, from skydiving to giving birth to her son, Michael.
I'm honestly not surprised. She continues to amaze me with every single thing she does every single day.
Dots and dashes creating a composition speaks volumes about the determination to overcome.
I want every person to be able to find their voice.
In Kirkland, Eric Wilkinson, King 5 News.
Composing.
That's
crazy.
We have a local person at Asopa, Susie, who has the same, it's cerebral palsy, and I took her out to a dinner, needs help cutting food and everything, but these older women were talking around her to me, like, oh, how nice, and that you're being so nice to this person, you know, and I said, she's got 2 master's degrees in English from SUNY New Paltz, you can ask her a question. So it's really, it's beautiful to see how that opens up a world for somebody who's kind of trapped in a body, but is they have no limits. So
I have a neighbor in Shokan who used to volunteer at the UCP Center, and she took people to doctor's appointments and to favorite activities, and there were 2 that still haunt her, because she said she knew that they were not cognitively impaired at all. Because all the responses were so in tune socially, but they didn't speak. And so the assumption of funny movements or not speaking has to go straight to something that seems primitive, really, about us, that we're afraid of difference. So not to beat up on us too much, but we're not great at difference until it's familiar, or unless it's us.
Definitely. I think that has a lot to do with the unfamiliarity of it. I was hurt 27 years ago. I have a spinal cord injury, and that was when I came home from. Well, number one, I didn't want to leave the rehab the facility that I was at because it was so comfortable and everybody made it like just really. It was very welcoming, and of course, you were surrounded by people who are in a similar situation, so you're comfortable there. And then you had to venture out into, you know, what's now this able-bodied type world where not everybody understands what you're going through, and I think. It's intimidating for people who don't understand, and it's not necessarily that they're rude. They're just uninformed, and you know, people used to talk to whomever I was with and ask them questions about how I was, and you know, it's I get it, but I don't get it at the same time. But yeah, you had to. It's about awareness too, and I think the more comfortable that people are, as this becomes more mainstream, you know, the easier it becomes for everybody. And I've noticed that even over the past, what is it, like, yeah, like 27 years. Mm-hmm. So since I was, and yeah, but things like this are great.
Because if you can't buy it, you may have tweaks on your chair at home.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably need custom adaptations all over the place.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely.
Light switches, remotes.
Right.
You cook.
And that was one of my questions for you. Is that, are the materials that you make these adaptations from what makes you unique to everything else that's offered out there? From like OT, you know, P&O and PT and... Yeah, because you can go to Helen Hayes, our mm-hmm. other rehab facilities in the area, and they'll do custom things for you. As well, I know that I've had a number of things over the years, mm-hmm. But nothing that I have seen as unique and as simple mm-hmm. as the materials that you seem to use for this. Which you know,
our specialty is what could we do right now with what we've got and who we are.
Right.
Can we solve this with as creative as we can be here and now?
Sure.
And here's one more for you. And
you're welcome.
Not spend much money.
Sure.
Use as money volunteers. So we are thrilled that you can go to the store, you can order in the catalog, but often that falls short. It doesn't mm-hmm. quite fit.
It's the generic.
But people don't do the quite fit part.
Right.
And say, well, we don't do that. That's not really our, you know, do you have anybody on staff that does that? I just spent a week with Tanya in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Well, we give the off the shelf, you know, and we do a little bit, but no, right. we have no way of doing that kind of thing.
Right.
Do you understand the word no way, what that means to somebody? That's the difference between
sure.
functioning and absolutely being warehoused.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And people accept that, and I'm sorry to say among my colleagues who are educators, clinicians, physicians, we are society at large. Like if we were just do the blame game, I'd throw us all in the woodshed. We're not good at this yet, and we need to be. And it seems to me that just the creative potential and the need from senior citizens living right now in, are they still assisted? How well to live at home? Veterans? I have been told that's a huge arena of how you perceive yourself as contributing, team member, creative. You know, what are the ways to kind of pull this off? And what do people do when they need a unique?
And it's amazing because it's really, you'd be surprised that it's the smallest thing sometimes that can make the biggest impact and the biggest change and contribute to the independence of somebody who has any type of disability, and
yep.
you know, something as simple as this, and it's not really, and I don't mean to like that downplay as simple because it is really not simple because you're really tuning into the needs of people and making it happen in the and the engineering behind it and all the really smart folks that put this stuff together, is key, but. You know, at the same time, like, it really is something very simple sometimes that...
Which
that
adds to why it's baffling.
Yeah.
Where's the common sense to do the simple, and is simple a result of sophisticated,
mm-hmm.
in a way, or determination?
Sure.
Bound in determination, you know, just we have to, rather than, well, I was mentioning that my aunt had a spinal cord injury, lives in Poughkeepsie,
mm-hmm.
and that happened in 1981. And it paralyzed her hands, not the rest of her, but just the idea of how is she going to hold a fork, how is she going to hold a toothbrush, and she wanted nobody brushing her teeth. And this skinny little toothbrush handle, and she couldn't manipulate the brushing. But it was the hygienist that thought of a tennis ball cutting X's in the top and the back end of it and shoving the toothbrush handle through the tennis ball,
sure.
meaning then she could grip this thing because it filled the palms of her hand. And she had, she wants no one seeing her drooling. Thank you very much. And, you know, get out. I can do this for myself. Getting the toothpaste on there was another thing, but, you know, each led to, well, how could that happen?
Yeah.
And we feel or find that so many people will do that. Why didn't you think
that?
It's sort of right there. But did you mention it? Did you ask? Did you draw? Did you sketch? Did you just bring it up to somebody? So, because people want to help. They really do, and that's why this book was so striking.
You know, a large part of our education is to learn how to see the universal and create the generic. You know, create the thing that will serve the most people. And we're starting to see some trends with repair cafes and some of the work of transitions of bringing things back to where we're starting with that focus on the individual and the specific. And I think that this fits in more on that end of the scale, but also tends to bring them together. Because if you have somebody who is got a good engineering mind, you're going to have a much stronger, better platform that you're putting on that wheelchair than if you have me make it from what I know so far, right? Mm-hmm. So you can combine engineering and materials, science, with the focus on the specific needs. And that I love the fact that it brings in the creative element. Especially in the Hudson Valley, we just have so many people with so much creativity, and it doesn't have to go always to art. It could also go towards practical problem solving. So I've been brainstorming with Alex about who she should meet, who should be involved. Talked with and invited tonight, but at the last minute, some of the folks from Onteora High School and from BOCES, and really welcome anyone's suggestions of you have space that you expect to become available in the fall of this year?
So the Cornell Creative has a large space, and I thought I'd died and gone to heaven when I walked into it, but they thought that I came with money to rent it. Oh, no. I have no money, can't rent it, but boy, could we do a dandy shop in this space with their mandate for that space, which you know about, right? Right over there, Cornell Creative. So they had a building that they had to...
Not Cornell Cooperative.
Yep, I got you.
Are they part of... Cornell Creative is part of Cornell Cooperative?
No, is it?
I think it's independent.
It's on Cornell Street, right?
They owned the building and had it as sheltered workshop for eons. And I think the governor said that won't be anymore. Or there was lost funding for all kinds of shelter workshop spaces, so they had to renovate it, empty and renovate. And then I think they've broken it up into small micro businesses where you might make your blueberry jelly or what soaps or whatever it may be, but you then incorporate ARC clients as interns or employees as a cut to rent.
I would love to put you in contact with my dad, actually.
Because
brilliant engineer. You know, he was a commercial builder for many, many years. And then he was the Commissioner of Public Works in Port Jervis. He did that for like 23 years, and he's like MacGyver. He really is, and he's been a godsend for like things that I've needed, adapted things. He made this adapted a wheelchair to go on the beach, like out of all kinds of different. Talk about going back and forth to Home Depot and Lowe's. He would put all kinds of really amazing things together. It's somebody who thinks outside of the box in order to make that difference, in order to give that little more of independence. But he's definitely somebody who I think would be able to offer a lot to...
His answer to you was yes.
Yeah.
If you wanted, needed...
Absolutely.
Then he was going to say...
He'd find a way
to
do it.
Let's do that.
And enjoyed doing it. And still does.
You know, I think that's the thing that I wanted to keep saying... Because he enjoyed it and benefited as much as you did, if perhaps not more. Then he also has a story
Yeah.
That he changes minds, but the story itself changes all of our minds. So that ripple effect of that different is not that bad.
Yep.
And also all differences, all bigotries, all isolation need to be ended. Humans come together, not apart, is a big, important evolutionary demand right now.
He's been retired for about 5 years. My mom's about ready to kick him out of the house. He's not busy. 73 years old. And a young 73.
And he has a shop in his basement.
He works out of his garage. Then, and he can. That's where he usually puts things together.
But that energy, the thought that energy would be dormant, when the woman you just mentioned with the two master's degrees, you can't really not still need something.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? I mean, there could be still something.
Absolutely.
How's your everything angled, positioned, reaching?
Yeah.
You know that as many things as everyday life, there will be more. But they often don't get asked for. And little guys, who was just born in Ulster County today, was spina bifida, cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
Did that happen? Because sometimes, yes, those pregnancies may be ended, but they also, who crossed a crosswalk today and isn't going home in the same shape they did yesterday? The need, who was elderly today, diagnosed with ALS today? And that may have happened across this district many times every day. And it can be, I mean, 26 years ago, you were in a rehab where you might have wanted to stay because you knew by that age, safer in here. It's not nice up there.
I couldn't imagine a world pre-ADA. You know, and I can't even say a world. I mean a country, because the world is still not at the point of where we are, and we have, gotten to since, 1989? And there's still work that has to be done. It's not perfect, but the ADA was essentially the Civil Rights Act for folks with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's plenty that still has to be improved, and, I think organizations like yours and, always keep moving forward and making those improvements, making things easier for people with disabilities. So, it's a good thing.
The head injury center,
northeast.
I don't want to criticize any in particular, but I would do a sweeping challenge to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the ARC isn't adapting for function, if the nursing care right there, and if the head injury, what are people doing purposefully to make sure that part of the whole story is what can do? So finding funding to pilot, let's say Cornell Creative would have already rented it if I walked in with rent money, and I don't even know how much that was. I just want them to lead it and get, their own.
You don't know how much it was?
I don't know how much the space was. I didn't even ask them, because whatever it was, I didn't have it. Adaptive design doesn't have it. It's the most, our entire operating budget has never exceeded $700,000. We put more on paper, but it's very hard to, essentially the crux of this is places like the ARC, UCP, the Northeast Care Center, don't say we have needs, because that would sound like we're not meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had little Maddox in your daycare, would you now know, I want the kid standing, as long as his mother and his physician say that he's ready to.
Right.
If the pediatrician says, not only can he stand, he should be able to play with sand and water and roll a ball.
But there's even a trend now with people not pushing their kids to doing what they can do, like cups and just, there's kids in kindergarten who still with sippy cups. If you didn't push it, so I think there's a trend for people not to have them do what they can do.
And it's probably, we're not currently in a mode of doing what's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's like, if it's a little rough, it's a little difficult, you don't deserve that trouble, rather than, you're not going to learn a darn thing.
You're going to make a mess.
It's going to be hard. How many of us are signing up for another language tonight? you know, be good to go exercise. Were you off to language class? That's great. Hard one.
I'm just reading books in Spanish to learn Spanish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I get to do that every night.
So are you a 501c3 or do you work? Okay.
Yeah. So I sent that. I was sent around. This is just a tiny piece of our mission and vision and our what we're trying to pull off at the bottom of it. And I do you know that graph, the diffusion of innovation?
It's on your sheet.
Yes, I wanted to describe that to you. And I'd like at least for Ulster County to be on that arc, the beginning of the arc. In marketing, if we're going to make up, say, a new flavor of ice cream right now,
kiwi banana.
No, people would eat it. Kiwi and pollock.
Mm. Pollock? What is pollock?
Fish.
Fish.
But let's say we all just thought it was the... See what you did? Well, so then you glance here and say...
I'm not an early adopter of strange choices.
So something very new, you need the innovators. Mm-hmm. The next group probably just like ice cream and they like you, so they'll say, all right, I'll try it. The early majority have to be pretty convinced, but they're going to listen to the early adopters. The late majority are listening to the early majority. And finally, so smartphone use, mm-hmm. Bluetooth earphone. There may have been something we were all like, I had no way. And then we warm up. Mm-hmm. So the idea of adaptive design being part of absolutely every OT program, speech program, classroom, school, community, that's where we got to get. I'm sorry to say we're still over on the innovator end of things. Mm-hmm. But
you have, you know, these things. Could you give me your box again? These things are more like kiwi banana than they are kiwi pollock.
Yeah.
This is a crash course in carpentry.
So the shop classes, it can be. It can be if you can get your hands on the thick.
Would you sit on it just to dump to proof?
I'm sure I won't break it.
I'll pay you.
Pay to watch me fall.
No.
We have this at the recycling center too.
Yoga mat.
Okay. Oh, it rocks though.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's very much too low for those long of leg. But imagine you're in third grade and you've been sitting in your school chair all day, being told to sit still. Stop touching him. Leave his work alone. Do your own work. I told you to sit still and pay attention to me. Right? Mm-hmm. That goes on all day, all the time, until somebody throws something. Take him to the office.
Mm. Get some extra motion in here. Am I making you seasick?
No.
This is fun.
It's relaxing. It's even relaxing to watch you sit on it. But when I was sitting on it, I felt
amazing.
So this is, it's easy to cut. And with power tools, hand tools, to hot glue and white glue, to score, to bend. We put it together with wooden nails, which use an awl and pound in the wooden nail.
Art program.
It gets edged. And for years and years, Adams, well, they still have wonderful paper bags. And that little reuse this bag. I had a neighbor in Chokan who would collect bags from the neighbors. And I hauled hundreds of Adams bag to New York City. It's probably on the edge of this. If you look through it, you can see an edge has a tape on it. So it's handmade tape of strips of Adams bag torn against a straight edge. Then you put glue on it and scrape it with a credit card so that you literally make the tape. And This intern was extraordinary. You see how smooth it is? You have to make it disappear. And then it has to be painted. If it's a cardboard product, it has to be painted per kid specs. And we didn't have photo permission for when the class came in to the cafeteria, who adore Batman, mm-hmm. and who all say it's really crappy to sit on a cafeteria bench with sit still and have it doesn't fit anybody, right? You just deal with it. So it can be learned. So starting with a cardboard carpentry and this kind of, either as an awareness builder or everybody is unique and special, you know, what's a way to start the conversation? And cardboard design is the least expensive and can happen anywhere. These mothers in Peru all had been told that their children were vastly disabled. This kid actually had been left to, she was loved, beloved, but the doctor had said she'd die soon after she was born. And so she's 13 here and had spent really her whole life laying down or seated. She's sitting here next to a picture of Annie Sullivan and Helen Keller. Mm. And they discovered, once we made this cardboard rocker, and this is recycled cardboard, that in fact she had vision, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and she was listening to her parents' conversation. Mm. So it's an extremely frightening topic, I'm telling you, mm-hmm. that people are assumed to be far lower functioning than they are. Mm-hmm. And if you hear, oh, you're probably awkward and don't dance, right? I just broke your spirits, even if you're a dancer and you sing and dance. But if you say, well, not very on key, you know, you can spoil someone's potential in a flash. It's devastating, and we do that. So anyway, I appreciate your listening and thinking about this. And if you digest it and think about, we'd need a pipeline of requests. We need your dad. People need jobs. We need more careers. This country needs new careers, and in the helping profession, the social services health sector, it's massive, the need for this. And any one person, if we just lined up the number that you have, all those adaptations, some were commercial, for sure. Sure. But that number would mean there's going to be constant demand if it was really realized. And I think in the diffusion, if we get to the early majority, if we could do this across the Hudson Valley, beginning here, and get the local universities to document each step, mm-hmm. get the local media to shout about it, I think we could tip it across the Hudson Valley for sure. And Syracuse, I brought this one. I can leave this with you to pass around. So the Syracuse group, where Connor, who's using the lap desk for his iPad, and Maddox is standing, they have gone on to partner with another one of our groups in Ibarra, Ecuador. Mm-hmm. So they work together.
Working with spina bifida.
And so this is Maddox about a year later.
It's like a little car.
Mm-hmm. So because there's no end to what you can do with it. But so we need a pipeline. It would be nice to have an investor. And I have friends in Detroit, actually, who know Peter Buffett and that he lives here. Mm-hmm. And they could give him a letter. And there are probably many other people in the Hudson Valley that might consider such a letter, but I don't have access to them. And it's also hard to present without demand. So we need a few mm-hmm. people to do a wish list. Mm-hmm. To say, I have this group of therapists who have a million ideas, or I have this group, this classroom, or we have this whole center. Somebody has to admit there's need. And by far, that's harder. It's not hard to design and build or bring people together to do that. It's astoundingly difficult to get people to admit that there's need.
If you move forward, what are your budget needs? I mean, what would you look for? Would it be an individual, teaching a green job and creating green jobs, or would it be product, or
it's not product, it's service.
It's service, okay.
Yeah. So after my aunt's spinal cord injury, and I was working with babies at the Perkins School for the Blind in Boston, and I drive here to Poughkeepsie for the designs for my aunt, and my uncle eventually taught me to use tools. Mm-hmm. He made everything, but I would describe babies and drive all the way here to Poughkeepsie because he made things. And then eventually went to the school and said, we need an Uncle Frank here.
Yeah.
We need a basement like that here. Mm-hmm. And it took 7 years for them to say yes. Mm-hmm. And 7 years of my learning what a drill, sewing, soldering mm-hmm. was. And all my colleagues, all the families, all had ideas. And so Perkins started it in 1987. So it's now in its 32nd year. Mm-hmm. And it's within the budget of the school. We calculate, and they make about 1,000 things a year for the student body and the surrounding. And we calculate that is the least expensive at about $200,000 a year. And that's what I've proposed to the ARC, to imagine just taking out of their $42 million budget $200,000 mm-hmm. and believe that they'll make 1,000 things a year. And everybody benefits. And it's well worth that investment. Rather than we'll bill you for this this little iPad holder. It costs nothing in the sense. But the kids getting in and out of their wheelchairs, what would you charge for that? Why would you charge for that?
The improvement in their health from doing that themselves and the mm-hmm. protection of the aid from the lifting. And some of those mm-hmm. children probably more than one aid mm-hmm. in order to be mobile. So, you know, you're shifting from a dependence model to an independence model.
Mm-hmm. Millie feeding herself?
Yeah.
She becomes a different student. The principal said, what happened to that kid? She's like a social butterfly. She never used to talk. Mm. Tanya getting married, having mm-hmm. a son, mm-hmm. jumping out of airplanes, having a degree. Uh-oh. Seems to me tip of... And yeah. so it should not be product, but it should be all staff, mm-hmm. all families, all physicians, all clinicians having ideas, and then primarily volunteer run. Like if your dad is loose.
Yeah, what's your dad's first name? Is it Lopez also?
Yeah, he's Vince, yeah.
Vince. Vince.
Because that, just creating it tiny, in a sense, my aunt having paralyzed hands, my uncle being able to use any kind, being a MacGyver, mm-hmm. and my being insane, mm-hmm. is all it takes. So you've got to have somebody nuts in terms of a million ideas and absolutely stopping at nothing. Mm-hmm. But there are people there. There are, like your dad, a little bit today, a little bit bored.
Yeah.
And driving somebody else crazy with that mm-hmm. boredom.
Absolutely. It's a good combination for you.
And I think of this as being like Ulster County has become a leader on the environment. What if mm-hmm. we became a leader on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this does impact the environment because of the cardboard use.
Yeah.
I mean, they're only getting 15 a ton for that. They're saying they might not get anything.
No. Right.
And then
China
maybe why not
it,
plastics?
Yeah.
You know, we've seen mm-hmm. innovative ideas from... a young man in Amsterdam who melts it down and forms it, maybe, you know, who knows? Oh, yeah, that's a neat idea. All of it.
If we could get an investor, whoever that might be, because county and state money is always, as soon as you bring it up, anywhere I've gone, any school, we have so many other needs.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
Well, this one would start to change everything. Mm-hmm. There are 9 adaptive design shop classes now in the New York City Department of Ed.
When before there were none?
Zippo. Mm-hmm. And they are, the 9 are in special ed schools because the city still has substantially segregated buildings. Awful. Mm-hmm. However, guess what? In there are lots of bright and fully capable, maybe once a brat kid. Somebody shy. Somebody super dyslexic, somebody just not fitting in, but super capable. So they're now an adaptive design shop, and last year I think the count was 2,500 footrests, easels, seat wedges, all kinds of things. Not so much custom yet, but they're making the standard product and distributing that to schools all over the city, those nine. That's transition to work. That's a viable employment for people that otherwise would go straight to Dayhab and lost potential. So in every direction, the retired people, the adults who just hated school, because school failed them, I think we could often say. Women, we had 50,000 a year for 19 years from the state for women who had been incarcerated, who were on probation or parole. 290 women spent anywhere from a couple of weeks to permanent. We have one person that's been here the whole time. Mm-hmm. Who was in that transition. And many who call all the time and say, do you have an opening? Mm-hmm. We've had 3 U.S. veterans that say cardboard carpentry and adaptive design should be taught on every base the mm-hmm. world over. Because mm-hmm. it's a way of kindness and community. Instead of handing out money after in Iraq and Afghanistan after villages were gone, apparently veterans or U.S. servicemen handed out envelopes for rebuilding. Mm. You know, sorry. One of the veterans said we should just have been bringing people in because the military ships in Tri-Wall. Anyway, it's an idea that's kind of ginormous. The biggest challenge is it's so big. But I listed them here, the things that we try to pull off. And it does work. If you're ever in New York City, you could visit. And some elected officials in the city are well aware that it would and could grow across the city. So they're going to continue that and radiate out. But the Syracuse group is saying we should have partners across the state.
Well, what is it called links? when you take a plant and you take a cutting?
Splicing.
Yeah, and so I think we need to take a cutting from New York City and see if we can get it to take root up here. Transplant it, yeah.
Yeah, that is really, we consider it a mobile school. Mm-hmm. Like that we can do like we did in Syracuse, was the 52 hours of wild building. But we've not gone back. Mm-hmm. They come to the city from time to time, but it doesn't take long to get a group going and beginning to generate their own requests and respond to them and finding people that want to come out and help. So.
Well, thank you for coming.
There you go.
And I think you've got some potential allies here. Very excited about this. I did invite Suzanne Holt again at the last minute.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we can get you maybe either here at the county again or maybe at one of the potential sources of need mm-hmm. and bring in some of the people, some additional people. But I feel like it's really important that this committee know about this and help to kind of brainstorm with you on identifying needs and identifying potential investors, funding sources, and people who might be able to work with you as you get started up here.
I wonder if there is a parent network. Like, where are those
PTOs?
Parent networks? Of kids
PTOs
with...
Parent and teacher.
I don't think we have a centralized... Other than Anderson School, which is for individuals with autism, I don't know that we have a centralized group of people with physical needs. I think we have probably been more successful in having people be in their homes and be in mainstream schools.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that it may not be that ready-made group.
But if they're OTs or PTs who are willing. We need just to start with a few
mm-hmm.
people who identify the unique needs. Just starting teeny tiny
mm-hmm.
would get it moving at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody comes forward to say, I've got 2 or 3 kids, 2 or 3, 5 or 10 ideas, that's a beginning. Because
mm-hmm.
then it ripples out from that. And an end to any any of the organizations. I'm curious about the Head Injury Center, whether there's, someone there that is thinking in terms of, right today, thought, darn it, it'd be so cool if we had a, any rehab hospitals where people go home after rehab, exactly like you said. We need to make it friendly for going home.
Sure.
I think there, those folks who are doing, who are working with those children or people who in need, are recognizing a need for something, dreaming on it, and knowing who they might be able to contact to be able to do something about it. I've got an idea for something for somebody. I know somebody I can call that can either give me instructions or get me to somebody else that can help me to put it together. Mm-hmm. If you come with the idea that, that I want to do it because it's something I see, I just need a little instruction on how to get started. Mm-hmm. Or at least I can develop an idea and then get it to someone else to start playing with and putting it together. And then we can try a piece, see where we are, tweak it some more, and those are the kind of things. It's just like building a hot rod. I got this idea for a hot rod. I don't know everything, so I call a body man, I call a little this, that, and the other. By the time you're through, you've got something that everybody's grinning about because it works. Maybe sometimes it doesn't, but but I think that's more because you got a lot of people who are working with them already. And if we can get the idea into their heads and then more or less form a hub, a contact hub where they can reach and touch.
Yes. Yeah.
It's more where you're trying to start because you're not going to bring in a whole bunch of people to start watching. Those people that are already doing it are the ones that you need watching and realizing that they can do something about what it is they're seeing. I think that's more than anything else. From what I witnessed from what
it's really demand. It's getting people whose job it is, an OT, a PT, a speech therapist, a classroom teacher, a parent. Mm-hmm. Those are the critical five, or the direct service provider of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be the one frustrated by a problem or inspired by an opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Like just to think, how could Angel and William get out of their chairs? Because once in the chair, it's like, oh, no, he can't do that himself. Well, he can't right now because he never did it. He can't right now because nobody ever thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely, neither of them were that fast at it, but man, were they motivated to do that.
And
so
you're
the opportunity.
That he can't also, excuse me, you're already saying that he can't do it.
Correct. You predicted it, therefore. And that's all over this with Millie. Oh, we don't have time to clean her up. It really, the lunchroom, and we have to get out, we have to clear. I just don't want to, it's easier if I feed her. Like, don't bring that up. And it
While I'm saying that, I need to be looking at what can I do that she could do it.
Right.
What can I do that she can? How can I give her the idea that she can do it, and then develop something that can help her to do it, rather than just accepting the fact that this child has a problem?
Yep.
Yeah, and Mary's reminding me about RCAL. We do fund RCAL, which is set up to provide people with all kinds of canes, wheelchairs, other sorts of assistance, but this would expand that, help just blow the lid off of that in terms of what potentially could be offered. So I think they're important. And
because it said they networked with school districts.
So RCAL might be a resource,
a good
referral.
A good link.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they have OT, PT on staff?
I don't think so. But I think they'd be a good. They're kind of a hub for services, so OTs and PTs would all be listed with them.
Somewhere, if you can help cultivate the friendly welcome, because there is a little spot there that you're detecting of about. Does that? So the child that I briefly showed you that did not have a wheelchair tray, that just took about an hour to make, 45 minutes to be specific. She had waited 4 years because her chair. They forgot to order the tray.
Oh, okay.
and so it's delivered without. And then you have to justify an upper body support. And it was a fiasco. And the family couldn't afford it. The school didn't know how. And nobody. So the assistant principal said, I've heard of this place. And so we made it in 45 minutes, just that mock-up of it. That's a health crisis. That is very, very bad. Mm-hmm. But the PT thought she was going to be fired.
For having gone
neglected
outside the box?
This. No, for having neglected
for
4 years, something that could be made in 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Am I going to be fired for that? It was like, no.
No one.
Now, tomorrow, if you see somebody else that needs a tray, now you know more.
You got to be introduced before I hold you responsible.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So kids that could get out of their wheelchairs and sit at the cafeteria bench, painted Batman or Frozen or whatever, if you didn't learn that in OTPT school, it's okay. But it is something that can be done. Mm-hmm. For people that want to get out of that chair, little kids especially, how can they sit side by side, eye to eye? But somebody has to feel that their job is not going to be, like I failed OT school because I didn't know that, or... It was a drive-by moment, and I...
And the flies weren't there for her.
No.
Right. And when you just imagined, when you saw this perch, the rocking perch, that it looked exactly like Maddox's
standard. Board, yeah.
That's an unusual skill, I'm sorry to say, but it's like his dad, because you just went, whoosh, I think I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Standing in a box. That looked like a box.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
So... That's that thinking, like, how can we? If it's too long, cut it.
See, that's how we got most of the tools and things that we have.
The world we live in, literally, is
evolution.
Designed.
You see something, you got a need.
Mm-hmm. Necessity
you
is the mother of invention.
Yes.
And we are getting less and less and less as it's store-bought. Well, this is a little unbalanced. We should get rid of it rather than what's making it wobbly.
Yeah.
So
put cardboard under it.
Yeah, So it's a very common sense. It's very community, very local, and the person is in the middle. And very much, there's just hundreds of stories of, wow, that person got discovered to be an actual whole person just like everybody else, just with a difference, just more obvious. Your difference is more obvious. Your difference is more obvious. We just have to stop that. And anyone can be different to any degree at any time. And so the commonality of vulnerability and high... do you remember the Supreme Court ruling on the Andrews versus Douglas? It was in March, I think, of 17 or 16, that a family in... Douglas County, Colorado, took their kid out of special ed and put him in a private school, and he gained skill. And they go back to the school system and say, tuition, please. Mm-hmm. He did better over there. We paid it. Tuition. Mm-hmm. And the county was like, we are not responsible for that. So it went up, all the way to the Supreme Court, and they say, pay it.
Wow.
Their argument was, our obligation is de minimis.
Ooh.
We know better.
Yeah.
Which is not an education.
We know better.
So John Roberts wrote the decision about that isn't education, that ambitious. And those eight at the time Supreme Court justices would have known from being believed in, being encouraged. Mm. Hey, you are smart. You're amazing. You can achieve. You can achieve. But this guy, Andrews, dismissed from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, it's a simple story, very common sense, but very transformative, and I think one that would be very fun to have your insights and inspirations, connections for how to make it happen here. So,
I think I sent your contact information to Craig and Nettie. We should send it out to the entire committee.
Okay.
If you would.
And it's on these cards, too.
Oh, it's on the cards, yeah.
Okay.
But
Adaptive Design has, on the About Us page, there is a video link, and there are several videos there that I show up over and over in several of the different videos. Mm-hmm. A PBS NewsHour did a piece. There's a couple of documentaries, one about my aunt and her spinal cord injury, one called Among the Giants that features a woman who's very tiny, 30 inches, and needed a lamp on her wheelchair to travel around New York City. There was no lamp made by wheelchair companies. And another kid whose legs didn't develop, but she walked on her hands, and the chairs we made for her. And I gave a commencement address at a graduation at my own alma mater a few years ago. So each of those, any one of those, they can be of just a few minutes, but they can be helpful, you know, because we're here in person and I'm yammering on at you, but if you were to tell somebody, I met her, but she's got an idea, any of those might help to convey the idea. Mm-hmm. And then just browsing around the website, there are more of these kinds of stories just written. So hopefully we'll talk again.
Good.
Thank you so much. I'm
Thank
really
you.
Grateful.
I really appreciate
you
coming. Mm-hmm.
All right. New business, old business?
Mm-hmm. We're going to address the child care maybe next month.
Okay.
Do you want to reach out? Because I've gotten a couple of different responses. We initially, as far as the financial impact of a parent going back to work and paying for child care and trying to get out of the social service hamster wheel, we had reached out to social services and were told there's no waiting list and there's funding. You know, meeting people who provide daycare, I've heard, well, it's only $45 a day, which is great if I only need to pay my daycare workers $3 an hour because it's a 10 to 12 hour day. You know, sometimes if the parents don't show up, they get cut out of the program before the daycare provider knows. So there's other things, like you said, it can't be, it's too good to be true. Mm-hmm. So I would like to look into that a little bit further, see if we can look at the program and maybe see if there's any tweaks that are needed with it.
Mm. And also see if we can.
If you know, we can, maybe.
Because I'm not sure, but I'm not sure where what the limits are on the funding. Like, if those standards are set on the state level and how they're...
Yes, that's a good point.
I think a lot of this funding does originate at the state, and trying to augment it at the county level is difficult, but we ought to at least know what people need and whether or not we're
Well, we may
it.
Be able to just clarify that with Maria and also with Heidi. Maria Ruffner's with the county and Heidi Brandt is with the CSEA Voice Union, Daycare Union. She's their rep for the area.
That whole system needs work. The whole system needs work.
It's an old system.
That you...
They need
it's
to
more
change
of an encouragement
limit.
Than it is just a support system. It needs to be an encouragement to climb. The way it's built, it encourages you to sit where you are.
Well, because
and enjoy it.
Because moms right now that are working, that are single moms, that are making very little money, they don't qualify.
Well, that's the whole point.
So they wind
you
up. Yeah, there's no point.
If you go to work, you lose everything. Not just you know. So it needs to be revamped to the point to where I'm growing you instead of supporting you. If they just get to the point to where they look at it and say, fine. You can find a job between what it takes to live and what that job pays you, we'll supplement or we'll do something. As you climb, we decrease rather than you reach to where you make enough so that you can eat.
And that's what the CAP program
and
did.
And keep half ahead, half a roof over your head, we cut you off because you're too far. It's the same thing that was with Head Start, the same thing with so many other things. Is that the system is designed more or less just to keep you where I can say I helped you, not where I got you, where I grew you. If I develop a system that says I'm growing men and women into active, functioning adults, that's what my goal is, then it will make a difference. The way it has been and still is, it's just, you know, all I know is everybody I know is encouraged. I'm not going to get a job. Okay. I'm I'm going to try to go to school, and even that is tricky in itself. So everything that's there is kind of encouraging me to stay in the slump I'm in. Just make it. You know, they did get a little cap on having children. Every time I had a child, it went up. Every time I had a child, it went up. So what did it do? It just encouraged me to have children and stay at home. Okay. All those things are things that need to be worked to where we're actively thinking about building people instead of just saying, look what we did. Okay.
And not having people park their kids wherever they can because they can't afford quality daycare. Because
mm-hmm.
we pay for that on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're paying a lot more than we should be paying if we were building.
And we're paying on the wrong end.
Because in the building process, fine, I'm going to pay for daycare. You show me where you're doing such and such and such. We can take care of that. That lowers medical bills because I'm not worrying about kids getting hurt. I'm not worrying about this, that, and the other. It does a lot of different things when I'm really looking at how am I developing people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As long as I'm looking at, and I may be wrong, but I just look at it as a we did poster. Look what we did. Mm-hmm. When you look at the background of it, we actually did nothing except for create a bigger bill for ourselves along the way. Okay, we don't want to do it. Let's teach people to get jobs where they can make enough money to live, develop child care to the point to where it does not cost you all that you make to put a child in child care. When we talk about full wages, we talk about everybody's going to make $15 and this, that, an hour. It becomes a problem in that the jobs don't support it. Jobs already don't support it. If I make this guy pay all of this money, I agree with everybody making it, but I got to get a job that does that already. Sorry, McDonald's can't pay $15 an hour to everybody that's in there. Those slow days, they close up. All of those things. That guy with the cafe on the corner, that breakfast, lunch, and maybe a snack in the afternoon, he can't afford to do that and have quality people working. They're hard enough to find as it is.
Yeah.
So
that's okay. True.
Don't get me started.
Well, but you made a very good point.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
Yay.
All there?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. You run into jail.
Oh.
Wait, where are you going to?
He's got another meeting.
Our other meeting
is
at the jail. They had a tour.
Oh,
yeah, they should be
law enforcement.
You can go too? Oh, no, you're
going to be in your big sign.